Okay. Who else do we have on the line? Who else has joined us on the line this morning for our master's morning call?
Name Mallory, Wake Forest, Carolina.
Miss Mallory, welcome to the call. God bless you. We're happy to have you. Who else do we have there?
Reverend Duchess McCaskill, Newport News, Virginia.
Virginia, welcome. We are glad that you are on the call. We are getting people from coast to coast. Now we are beginning to say we can go coast to coast. Who else do we have on the line this morning?
Deborah in Olympia, Washington.
All right, Miss Deborah, it's all right for you, you getting up early in the morning, getting on here. Thank God for you. One last person. Who else do we have on the call?
Karen from Rochester, New York.
All right, New York, you are on the call, and we welcome you. Listen, you all, we just returned from Las Vegas, Nevada, Extravaganza 2011. We had our first call last night, a couples call, and you all, I'm here to tell you, it was astronomical. It was just off the chain bad. That was one of the most classiest, one of the most well-organized events I've been a part of in this company. It was just super fantastic. And where we're getting ready to go, because of Dad Diaz de Leon's vision, where there is no vision, the people perish, honey, but we have a vision. And so if I sound a little happy this morning, I want you to know I'm not a little happy. I'm a whole lot happy. I am happy down to my sanctified toes. And now we are going to call Miss Tiffany Lauderdale, who was right there with me the whole time, to come and open up our prayer call this morning. And Kathy, I want you to be ready to close us out.
Good morning, Pastor PK. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. So good to put a face with your beautiful voice. You are just a lovely person in the Lord. I thank God for you, Tiffany. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor PK. Thank you to all my artist family and those who are getting ready to come into artist. Happy Valentine's Day. God bless you all. Let us go to the throne. Father God, we come humbly into your presence this morning, thanking you for this another day that you have made. And we thank you that your word declares for us to rejoice and be glad. So we come to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, glad and happy, Father God, for we have no need to complain, Father God, no need to worry, Father God, for you truly have blessed us in a mighty way, Father God. So we come right now asking you in the name of Jesus, Father God, to allow the heavens, Father God, to be manifested here on earth, Father God. We come and we stand in agreement to say that you are our God and that you are our Savior, that we seek you first in your righteousness, Father God, and we know that everything else shall be added unto us, Father God. We celebrate love on this day, Father God, because there is no greater love than you, Father God. The one who died on the cross, on Calvary's cross, Father God, and shed the blood, and you said that by your blood we are healed, Father God. So we claim healing right now over every situation, Father God. Father God, we claim prosperity over every situation. We claim abundance and decree abundance over every situation, Father God, for the table has been set, Father God. So now we receive, Father God, what you have laid out for us to get, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God. I thank you for each person on this prayer line this morning, Father God, as we get ready to walk into divine order, walk into divine alignment, walk into divine justice, Father God. I pray that you would bless the speaker as she would come this morning, Father God, that the words that she says, Father God, will not only penetrate our ears, but they will penetrate our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our souls, that it would get all the way down into our feet and that we will have a new walk, a new talk starting this day, Father God. I bless your holy name, and I thank you that you kept us. You gave us traveling grace to make it to Vegas. You gave us traveling grace to make it back, and we will forever give your name all the glory, honor, and praise. And I ask these things and declare them in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. With prayer like that, I feel just like praying some more. God has been good to us. Thank you, Sister Tiffany. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The only announcements that we have, and my husband keeps reminding me, die, baby, keep the real thing the real thing, and keep these calls and the mission of them up front. You all go to your back office. If you can't go to your back office, call me. Call me at 586-468-4213 and get the information that was given this weekend. It's going to carry you to another place, not just about in your business, but in your livelihood. Change your life. That is our the motto for the artist business and appointment. Well, I tell you, it has absolutely changed my life. Now we're getting ready for our message. Yes. Oh, by the way, Gwen Beatty preached on Friday and did a phenomenal job. So I said I best start doing this a little bit more. And that's reminding those of you who would like to get the message to go on the computer now, www.themastermorningcall.wordpress.com. That's where all our messages are. We don't have callback numbers. That's, you just go in there, click on any of them, and you can get the message for today. Now, you all, our preacher for today is my sister in the Lord and has been connected. We have been connected as a result of the inspirational call a couple of years ago. But the thing that I know about her is that when she goes out to minister, she ministers hard, and she ministered in Las Vegas this weekend. So I know that she is anointed to bring us a word this morning, but I know she is tired in her body. But as she comes to give us what thus says the Lord, all the way from the Big D, Dallas, Texas, and was with us this weekend in Las Vegas, Dad put his hands on her, and all of the directors, as they came across the stage to become presidents and to be the future platinums. So she got a special anointing. And so with that, I'm moving out of the way so that our own Pastor Vanessa Weatherspoon will come and give us our word for this morning. Pastor Vanessa, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Dr. PK. We love and appreciate you, esteem the God in you, always honored to serve in this call and in life and in ministry with you. And thank you, our Master's Call family, for being with us this morning, and just so many new faces and new friends as God continues to bless us as we continue to grow in our mission and our mandate, which is celebrating Jesus each and every day. I'm excited that it is still very early in the morning. As Dr. PK said, I am still here in Las Vegas, been ministering all weekend. My senior prophet lives here in Las Vegas, and she worked me like a little Hebrew slave, and y'all, I made platinum bricks this weekend without the straw. But God is good, and a plane with my name on it is taking me back to Dallas this morning. But I want to conclude the series that we've been on for the last 2 Mondays And those of you who, if this is your first time, I'm going to do a quick overview and then get right into the third part today. The title of this series has been the WWW for Godly Transitions. We're so familiar with the internet, the world wide web, but the WWW, God dropped a different twist on it for me. So to conclude this series, the WWW for Godly Transitions, the holy internet highway to victory. And that WWW we've been talking about is the Word, the will, and the way of God. The Word, His will, and His way. And when we do this, the ingredients for that WWW we have to be willing to be obedient to His Word. When we're following His will, we have to have an attitude of gratitude and be a worshiper. And we do it His way, we must be wise. See, the most accurate method of making sure we do everything in harmony with heaven is to find the global WWW of decision making. And I've got this premise in this teaching that I teach in our School of the Prophets in Dallas. I use Dr. Bill Hammond's book, Prophets and Personal Prophecy, God's Prophetic Voice Today, and the analogy that I've been using where he calls it the WWW, the Word, the Will, the Way. We're going to expound on that as we complete the way today, our last W. What we've been saying throughout this series is we have to determine God's Word on a matter, His specific will about it, but we've got to fulfill it His way. And this is our holy internet highway of God directing us on how to live for Christ. That how is so important. And what we've been saying over the last two Mondays are that there are three traffic lights with this WWW, and they all must be green, all three. We have to have a green light on His Word. We have to have a green light on His will, and we must have a green light on doing it His way before we can proceed. And on this internet highway, we can travel all over the world on God's WWW, but remembering all three lights must be green at the same time. Now, that's on the backdrop of the prophetic word. I keep, every time I have an opportunity to keep that before you, and as I was really, really ministering in that yesterday, we are watching this transition. The prophetic word that I gave at the beginning of this year was that this is a year of divine arrangement of God, the divine arrangement of God. And he has a 3D perspective that 2011 will entail, and that's divine alignment, getting our lives in alignment with his word, getting some balance, just good old-fashioned balance in our lives, the divine order, that we have to do things godly and decency and in order, as the word tells us. And there's a divine justice that God is sweeping through the land. I've been watching the news just with a prophetic eye about Egypt and how God has just delivered them. And the key ingredient that caught them off guard was he used the internet. An employee from Google, your young brother, used it to put the message out all around the world. So when they were trying to show the people of Egypt one image, the true vision was being showed. I thought that was so strategic and prophetic. And the scripture that we've been using from Proverbs 19:20-21, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And the key verse in 21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. In other words, we've got many ways, which we're going to be mainly talking about today. We want to do something, but we've got to do it God's way because that's the only way that will stand. And we have to be willing and ready in our divine arrangement to line up with God's word, to get in order with God at utmost, to watch him do his justice in the land. Now, we talked about with the first W, first we have to have the Word of God in our how. We must be willing to obey the Word. You know, the acronym for the Bible that's been around so long, that the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth, that everything we do, everything we say, everything we embark upon, it must pass the Word test. If it contradicts with the word, you don't have to fast. You don't have to pray. Don't miss one meal. You ain't got to close your eyes and say, Heavenly Father, one time. If it contradicts the word, throw it out. It's not a God idea. It may even appear to be a good idea. Put it on the back burner till you get the complete revelation. God is not schizophrenic, beloved. He will not contradict his word. And he puts nothing above his word. So we hit it that first week. Then many things we get into, many deceptions that we have sincerely fallen into, if we had really stuck with the counsel of the word of God. If it did not line up with the word, we cannot proceed any further. And that's a hard truth, especially in our society, in our world, where we think our view, our feelings, our perspectives are more important. No. If it contradicts the word, it's not God. Again, the www for Godly Transitions. We're in a season of transition in 2011, where we're going from that divine order, which is what the number 10 means, on our way to divine government, which is what 12 means. 11 means imperfection. It means rearranging. It means reshifting and sifting and things that are transitional. It means transition, change. The year 2011, change will have change. And we have to teach you so you'll have a mindset when things don't go the way you're used to. You won't fall out, grow weary in well-doing. You'll be focused knowing that God is having it his way and he is in control of where we're going as we submit to him. The word, that was our first W that we covered. Then the second W we talked about last week on our holy internet highway was the will of God. We must do things according to his will, not our will. That simple prayer we all learned as children in Matthew 6, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We hallow the name of God. We call on your name. That possessive pronoun is your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. In other words, we seek God's will and then we line up with it. Too many times we tell God and then ask him to bless it. Wrong answer, wrong direction. We have to do it. And I went through eight principles on how you know when you're flowing and going in the will of God. I talked about last week, you know, with different things in our life, you can't specifically roll to a scripture and see, should I accept that job? You can't go to a scripture and see, is this the man or the woman of God I'm supposed to marry? Or is this the house that I'm supposed to have? Just those little things that I can't turn to Colossians or Jeremiah. Or, you know, it's not a verse for it, but I want to be in the will of God. And the eight principles that we gave, we talked first about having the rhema and scriptural illumination. Rhema, R-H-E-M-A, is an inspired word birthed within our spirit. A true rhema word carries with it a deep inner assurance and a witness of the spirit. Secondly, we talked about knowing the will of God through the prophet and personal prophecy. God still uses the prophet today to give specific directive words to the saints about our personal lives. These directives, prophecies, are not usually given through some moving of the gift of prophecy, but through the prophet. But there is the 1 Corinthians 12 of the gift of prophecy, and then there's direct words from the office of a prophet. But God really prophesies through his word. But if that scripture isn't there to confirm, then God will get it to you through the prophetic. Then thirdly, we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit when we're trying to determine what is the will of God. And in 1 Corinthians 12, the Holy Spirit can make known the specific will of God through his nine gifts, especially the revelation gifts of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. See, ministers and business people, like our artist family, we desperately need to know how to allow these gifts to make wise decisions in our ministries and in our businesses. See, parents, we need these gifts for making family decisions. When natural knowledge does not seem sufficient and the Bible is not specific, God will use the gifts of the Spirit. The fourth we talked about was the fruit of the Holy Spirit found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, because the fruit is really synonymous to the character of God. To be led by the Holy Spirit does not mean that we are led only by supernatural manifestations. That's how some of us get in trouble, because we want to live from miracle to miracle, and that's really not how God's counsel of the Word teaches us. If we obey his principles, we'll really come closer to a lot of the drama. Will be more drama-free than some of us are experiencing. See, the fruit and the gifts are like two sides of the same coin, and both sides must be in good shape
for it to be spendable. But the Holy Spirit is not in competition with himself. See, both the fruit and the gifts are manifestation of the Spirit's activity in our lives. One of the fruits we talked about last week was the fruit of peace. The peace of God is particularly important. Keeping your peace is very vital, because when you keep your peace, then you can hear clear. You can receive better what God is saying. That's why the enemy is always trying to keep confusion, drama, upheaval in our lives, because we can't hear clearly. It's like a short circuit in the spirit for when God is trying to send his will from heaven to earth. If you have the mind of Christ on the matter and you're being led by the Spirit, then you'll find the right fruit within. If you do not have them, then that green traffic light, light of God's will, and it hadn't turned green, then you need to do nothing. Make no commitments or final decisions until this light gives you the true green light. Moving right along, the fifth principle we talked about was the witness, the clearance, or the restraint of the Holy Spirit. To know and follow God's will for our lives, then we must be very sensitive to the checks and restraints of the Holy Spirit. We talked about from Romans 8:16 that God will bear spirit with his own mind. See, if you want the green light of God's will to shine, then we must have a clearance in our spirit. Never, never, never ignore promptings or restraints from the Holy Spirit, because it'll begin to dull your senses. First of all, quit calling it something. Something told me his name is the Holy Spirit. It'll also change God's ordained green light into a blinking light inside that causes us, if you don't slow down and wait for that green light, it'll dull you. You won't hear as clearly, and you'll start becoming self-centered, self-willed, and you'll end up bound up in a perpetual state of confusion and indecision. Peace. Those fruits of those checks in your spirit, when you hear God say, don't say nothing, don't go there, wait on me, don't be so quick to say, oh, that's me tripping. If you have the meditation time with God, you'll know when it's the voice of the Lord speaking to your heart. Then we talked about wise counsel. One of the biblical names for Jesus is counselor. It reveals his nature and his culture, and his character. Through godly counseling, his name is Everlasting Father and Good Shepherd, because pastoral, parental, godly advice from those wiser and more mature than ourselves, it's an important way of determining the will of God. And we went through numerous scriptures about seeking counsel before making major decisions. Proverbs 11:14, in a multitude of counsel there is safety. Proverbs 12:15, Proverbs 19:20. Seeking counsel is critical, but we need to seek it with an open heart. We don't need to go in and ask somebody what is the will of God that God has directed you to, and you've already had a made-up mind. You're wasting their time and yours. Then the seventh we talked about was confirmation. One of the best-known principles of determining the will of God is the scriptural requirement that everything must be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses before acting upon it. And we talked about that even Christ, he insisted in all serious matters that there be at least two or preferably three witnesses before we even accept a prophetic word or a word of counsel or a rhema word. And then the last principle we talked about last week was unity. Unity is not a cuss word. When more than one party is involved in a decision, agreement and unity among them is essential, absolutely necessary, especially in marriages. Couples shouldn't move ahead on any major decisions until we're on one accord. See, at this point, we can move into the confidence that it is his general will based on the word and his specific will based on the confirmed rhema word. But these two green lights of the word and the will are still not enough. The third light this morning, in my little last couple of minutes, I want to talk about the third light of doing it God's way. The way of God includes his timing, his methods, and his necessarily means to do it the who, what, when, where, and how. But not always the why, because a lot of times you will never know why you're doing it his way. But that's where faith and trust comes in. The continued guidance and the control of circumstances by God. And the patience, that's another word that's not a cuss word, to press on until his plan is accomplished. See, to possess the way, we need above all patience. We have need of patience, that after you have done all the will of God, you might receive the prophetic promise in Hebrews 6:12. Those of us with patience will eventually possess the promise. Let me say that again. Those of us with that godly patience will eventually possess the promise. See, sadly enough, most Christians are not even aware of this third traffic light, of this third ingredient of our holy internet highway as it relates to our walk with God. So many endeavors fail because they were not attempted according to God's way. See, Proverbs 14:12 says, in that 12th verse of the 14th chapter of Proverbs, there is a way that seems right unto man, but they are the ways of death. God's ways are not our ways, for they are much higher than ours, as the heavens are high above the earth. Isaiah 55:9. See, so many of us interpret that we can never think like God thinks. No, what God was saying there was, usually what comes to your mind, your strategy, my strategy, that's not God's strategy. That's what he's saying there. And as you spend time in his presence, he will give you his way. Why? Because James 1:5. See, I don't want you to wrestle with Pastor Vanessa. I want you to wrestle with the Word, and the Word will win. In James 1:5, he says, if you lack wisdom, ask him of it. He doesn't want you ignorant. Old saints say, he don't want you ignorant. Ask it of him, and he'll give it to you liberally. Three quick points. First, we must get the strategy of God, doing the right thing at the right time. Sometimes we really do have the will right, but we want to do it the wrong way. Doing it the wrong way at the wrong time can still abort the will of God. See, God has a blueprint for doing it his way. So we must get the strategy from heaven. Then secondly, we must stay in a posture of prayer and meditation to get his way. Then it'll already be blessed. When we do it God's way, the strategy will already be blessed. It'll already have the favor of God. It'll already have the provision of God, because God always brings provision for his vision. Again, that Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. There are many strategies we want, but nevertheless, God has one way. That square peg will not fit into a round hole. It's square to square, round to round. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that will stand. And then our last way for making sure we're doing it God's way, we must decide and remain focused to do it his way to the very end, to no matter what. We must decide and remain focused to do it his way to the very end, no matter what. We have to have a made up mind that it's not over until we win. It's not over until we see the victories that God has promised us. It's not over till we can wave our hand with Jehovah Nissi and embrace the victory of God his way. So in conclusion, often God's word and his will are much easier to determine than his way. The word can be determined by examining the Bible, the personal will, by inward principles and confirmation from others, but the way is a time process. Yes. Through a process of time that must be walked out day by day, because all the details of it are very rarely ever revealed to us. Because if God showed us mainly what he had ahead for us, most of us would run for the hills, not the ones that are your help, but running away for what God is telling you to do. As I've mentioned before, it's like driving a car at night. Our headlights only give us the green lights of about 3 feet ahead at a time. And that's God's way of making us trust in him, making us have faith in him. But if we keep driving, if we keep putting one foot of faith in front of the other, we will keep going, and then the way will become clear, be made clear and plain. The WWW for Godly Transitions, the Holy Internet Highway to Victory, the Word of God, his will, and doing it his way. Be willing, be a worshiper, and be wise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Back to you, Dr. PK.
Amen, 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 amen. You are indeed a godly, a biblical teacher. I'm telling you, the word, the will, and the word of God, and the way of God will absolutely get us where we need to be on this journey Thank you so much, Dr. Vanessa. I need you all to take a pen and write these messages, these requests down. They are so, so important to us right now because I've gotten so many. So just write them down right quick. One that is very disturbing to me is Elisha, her name is spelled the same as my husband, Sanders. She was at the extravaganza, didn't feel too well, and she died yesterday from California. And so we want to pray for her family. We want to pray for Zablina Brown. Well, her father-in-law was just diagnosed with prostate cancer, and so she called last night, and we want to pray for them and for, we believe, God, for healing against this cancer demon. Want to pray for the Anderson family. I prayed for this young lady at the extravaganza while she was there. Her mother shot her father, and they are not expecting him to live. We are praying that he lives so that she not lose her mother and her father. So the Anderson family is all you need to know to put there. Bobby and Larisha out of Miami Barclays, the report on them is Bobby is moving his feet, toes rather, and we want to continue to pray that God brings him on out of this seizure and bring him on out of this coma, and that God will continue to strengthen his wife. We want to pray for the Platinums because they were given a job by Dad Diaz de Leon, and that is to undergird those managers and directors. And we want all of us to get out here and do our job, but pray especially for our Platinums as they as their job now is a little different in how they're doing things and just bringing people to a place of success for real. Pastor Chuck Brown had bad news while he was there. Pray for the Chuck Brown family. He has his cousin lost his whole family. They were killed, all three of him, the husband, the wife, and the baby in a car accident. We are also wanting to pray for Lady Navoria Reese and Bishop Reese. He had to go back to the hospital, so we want to pray for them as well. Pray for those of us who have decided to take the challenge, work the system of artists, and do the and take the 90-day goal. Let's let today be the very first day, if you've not already started, with your 90-day goal to success. Write your goals down. Get them in place, and let's run. And we want to pray for Rusha. Rusha's already called three times since we've been on this call this morning. But we want to pray for her. She's just not feeling well. She has a cold, a flu, or something that she got there in Las Vegas. So we're going to close the call with prayer. Who do I have? Kathy Washington. Kathy. Are you there, Kathy?
I'm here, Pastor K. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and I know that I gave you a lot. I thank you for loving up on us and just taking care of us while we were there in Las Vegas. It was so good to bring the morning call listeners together and to just be there. We thank God for you on this morning. So if you can close us out in prayer, and when you hear me say amen, that means we through.
Yes, ma'am.
Come on, Kathy. We love you.
Love you, too. Well, bless the Lord. Thank God for the opportunity to come together in prayer. It's always a wonderful thing. Thank you all for your leadership, Pastor PK and Dr. Vanessa. Enjoyed both of you all this weekend. All right, morning call listeners, let's go to the throne room where we know where we can get answers for our lives. And we're going to do a global prayer this morning. Father, as we come before you now, we bless you because there is none like you nowhere. We honor you for this day. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the source of our lives. Thank you that you're El Shaddai. Oh, you're the Almighty God. And as we come before you now, thank you for being Jehovah God, in our lives. Thank you that we can come in and bring all of these requests before you. Oh, God, everything that has been mentioned here today. We know that you're the God of comfort. So we call out Pastor Chuck and others who have lost loved ones, the young lady that passed, even from California. Oh, God, the family, Lord God, we need you to help and be the comforter that you are. We know to be absent from the body is to be present with you. But, God, we need comfort here upon the earth. And we ask, Lord God, that you comfort every member that have lost a family, a loved one. We ask, Lord God, that you heal sick bodies, Lord God, all of these that have been mentioned here today. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the one that gives the healing. Thank you, Jesus, that you've taken the stripes for each and every one, and especially this cancer. We rebuke it now and come against it. Bind it up now and cast it out, spirit of infirmity. Infirmity, you cannot live. You cannot exist in the people of God. We cast you out now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We stand boldly and declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We stand boldly and declare that God, you will raise up these individuals that have been diagnosed with this cancer, and we declare that they shall live and not die. They shall declare the works of the Lord, because we come against that spirit now in Jesus' name. We come against those that are sick with flu symptoms and colds and this and that and the third. God, we just rebuke all of that and cast it down in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you know how to touch us where we are. Thank you, Jesus, for the platinums that are on this phone and those that are traveling already trying to be about the vision that was getting handed down from Dad DeLeon. Father, we just ask you right now to bless this family. Continue to strengthen this family. Continue to unify us and bring us together. We thank you, God, for extravaganza and how you brought us together, even there. Caused us to come home safely, Lord God. And those that are traveling today, we ask you for traveling mercies for them, Lord God. We bless you for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for Next Level. Thank you for the 90-day challenge. Thank you for those that have said yes, God. We ask, Lord God, that you would strengthen us, Lord God, as we step out and go forth and do what we feel you have called us to do. We know, God, that you are the one that provides success, and we shall have it in the name of Jesus. We bless you for all that you're doing. We bless you for all that you're going to do. We celebrate you for this day. This is the day that you've made. This is the love day. Yes, it is every single day. We thank you that you're the God who loves us with an everlasting love, and it does not change no matter what day it is. And we bless you this day and give you glory, honor, and praise. And all of the requests that have been made mention today, we thank you that you've got enough to handle each and every one of them, and we submit them to you in Jesus' matchless name, and come against every diabolical attack of the enemy, and declare and decree that you will not, it will not survive, it will not survive in our lives. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much. Thank you. And thank you, Ms. Tiffany, for your prayer this morning. Thank you, Dr. Vanessa, for you are just so wonderful in sharing at the spiritual table. You really are. And we thank God for you. Love and esteem the God in you as well. We thank God for each of you being on. Ask that you go out and have a super fantastic day. Open your mouth. Talk to somebody. Let them know that you have something on the inside that needs to be shared with each and every person you meet. God bless you. We love you. Have a super fantastic day. See you tomorrow.